I was thinking about you the other day, walking around Shannon, Ireland, looking down at the ground, continually reminded of you and your family's great work, the things you do, because on every block in Shannon, Ireland, is written Kavanaugh. I mean, it's everywhere on there, on all the grates, and on all the manhole covers. And I thought, hey, it's like the Kavanaugh family. But instead of their great interest in manholes, they're interested in the whole man. And I relish that. I guess I'll work my way up there. But before I do, I have a secret. I love you, and I'm glad to be here. Here's the really, 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 really good news. This is the day the Lord hath made. What should we do? That's right. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. You want to know something? Last Wednesday was the day the Lord had made. Did you rejoice? Were you glad in it? The day after tomorrow. Next Wednesday, guess what? That's the Wednesday the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in that. I was so excited this morning, early, kind of like the Christmas kid. I put my little clock right there next to me by my bed, and I woke up and I go, hey, maybe it's time. 2:45. Okay, it's not time, it's not time. Maybe now. 3:27. Oh, come on. Maybe now. 4:25. That's good enough. I'll get up. And I get up and I walk around. I go, what's that? The furnace is running. I hear the furnace, like, you know, little popping noises. And I went, hey, wait. It is raining. I love rain. I mean, from ever, from a little kid, I would love rain, but not normal rain. I love big rain. Thunderstorms, oh, even now, when I'm out working and flying, I just love them in a distance. And I look, and I mean, I like clouds, that's okay. I like black clouds, that's better. I love the black clouds with the flashing lightning, especially when you see that silver outline with the sun behind them. But I hate mud. So I came out this morning, I go, I love rain, I love storms, I hate mud. I'm thinking about how funny the Kavanaughs are. They make me laugh. They really do. A couple of months ago, I opened up this email to see what I'm going to talk about on Saturday. Okay, now I set them up, honestly, because I wasn't totally upfront with them. They thought I was a graduate. I've been assigned this topic, School of Contentment. School of Contentment. I mean, last night, when we heard about College Plus, who'd they send? They sent a graduate of the program. Christy did a great job. She's right there. When you get ready to show off your school, you send a graduate. Not only that, you don't send the guy that just barely finished. I mean, my mantra going through school was, if the minimum wasn't good enough, it wouldn't be the minimum. But oh no, there it is. Now here I am sent to talk about the School of Contentment, and I'm not even a graduate. Give you an idea. I'm getting ready to come here. I'm trying to get into the right spirit. I have only brown pants in my suitcase. Gina has told me that I should match my socks to my pants, my shoes to my socks, my belt to my shoes. I mean, it was so good when I got to turn the tables on her and give a little bit of it back to her. She's standing there at the top of the stairs. Some of her friends have already gone ahead down this aisle to stand in front of some of their other friends. Woody Robertson's already down there waiting for her, and I'm standing next to Gina, and I look over and I go, in her white finery, are you going to wear that? All right, But there I was the night before I'm supposed to come here. I'm trying to get my suitcase packed, and I can't find any brown socks. I have four boys, the stealers of the brown socks. So I line them up. Now, normally, when I need to get to an answer really fast, I put them in the push-up position. It helps them remember stuff, okay? This time, it's like, we didn't have time for that, because they're getting tougher and tougher. They can just sit there now for a long time, but it's like, okay, you guys, back to your closets and your drawers. Bring me your brown socks. A little bit. Here they come. I knew they had them. Ben gives me a pair of brown socks. Contentment, right? I now have brown socks. First day we're here, I take out my brown socks. But yeah, they're brown. But on one of them, the diamonds run one way. On the other one, the diamond runs the other way. My roommate saw my contentment. All day long, I complained about that in the end of both socks, there were two tiny holes. Yeah. On my left foot, my big toe poked out. And on my right foot, that middle toe poked out. Yeah. Oh, I found some other socks. I have roommates. And while they're sleeping, I just saw who was wearing brown pants. I went to their suitcase. And it worked out. It was a day the Lord hath made. But holes in my socks make it tough to rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Mandy is here or was here. She should be here. Mandy, my dear daughter, I'm looking at her and I'm going, look at these funny topics that the Kavanaugh family gave me. This one, the School of Contentment. And I'm thinking to myself, wait, I know why they would think I had graduated from the School of Contentment, because I go on display, hello, I'm like the graduate from the School of Contentment. Giant C, giant O, giant N, and on it goes. I don't really know how to spell it, so I'll stop there. But what they didn't know was right before the giant C is the little D, I, I'm a graduate of the school of this. Content! Aren't you glad? Oh, it gets worse. Tonight, talk about service. I know about service. Regularly, in service to my family, I will do some dishes. And as I do, I pretty much beat the drum and try to get everybody to nominate me for servant of the day. All right? So I know this service thing. You know, you get your hands dirty and all that stuff. But, yeah, they didn't leave it with that. They said, serving with grace. Well, I can understand that, too, because Grace Havlick used to work on the team with Daniel. I figured, oh, yeah, working with Grace. I can tell you all about that and what I learned from working with Grace and what I learned from working with Daniel and the rest of the team and stuff like that. But had thought, maybe we should see what Paul has to say about these things. Now, I can be lighthearted because all the heavy lifters have already gone and done all the heavy carrying right there. These are men that demonstrate to us what it's like to walk with Christ for a long, long time. To go to the throne regularly. To be filled up. On the other hand, I come showing you what God can do with just me. And so, let's make sure that we put our emphasis in the place they've been putting their emphasis. Because I think regularly when I go to the ocean, when I'm by the water, and when I'm standing there and I watch the waves coming in, I always think of Paul in Ephesians and in Colossians and now in Philippians, where the message of Paul, in Christ. And the waves just keep coming on, coming and coming. And you just, if you step out there, you're just bathed with it, in Christ. Paul's like a broken record sometimes. He's not writing to you, he's writing to me, because I step out there and I need to hear it just about that regularly. Well, thanks to the heavy lifters, we just get to have a good time. But there is that one thing that I would like you to grasp from our time together. So guess what? I'm going to throw it right up front, and then you can write a letter to Mom or anything else. This is the walk away. This is the takeaway, but not in your pocket. Hopefully, in your heart, your takeaway. Let's talk about contentment. I ran into this wall over and over and over, and it knocked me down. And I would get up, and I would run at it with more speed. I would run at it from more directions. And it would just beat me up. And I get here, and I begin to hear the message. I begin to hear some inputs from these other guys and from you at your tables and stuff. And last night, it finally clicked, like in the nick of time. I was kind of thinking that we were going to follow up on Daniel's Far Side joke last night. Blah, 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 Jesus. Blah, 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 Jesus. You know, you don't get a sweeter message than that. Contentment. Let's talk contentment. Let's focus on contentment. Let's try to take all of what it could be and boil it down to that which it is. Contentment is Christ alone. I don't think you get much simpler than that. Contentment is Christ alone. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Is that not excellent? Contentment is Christ alone. Whatever you look at, you see Christ alone. I got ready to get started. I thought, hey, we ought to look at the scriptures. Since I don't have PowerPoints, we'll have to like actually look at our Bible. And I thought, I should make sure I know where it's at. I go, oh, man. Where are my glasses? I mean, it's like Daniel's up there. And so, may I introduce... I'm going, oh, my glasses. And so when things get tough to see and they get muddled, I have to put on my glasses. And when life buffets you, batters you, kicks you, and spits on you, and you wish it would go... stay at that table instead of your table. You must look through Christ alone at these circumstances. Approving the excellent. Now, to show you, not only am I disqualified in some other ways, I come from a community where we know about only a few things, that excellence happens to be one of them. We even had on our football team the big two-a-days, rah, 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 let's get everybody ready to go. We're going to send them in. They're going to fight hard. They're going to win the game and all this stuff. Let's start preparing them. They put on their T-shirts. Excellence in all we do. Hey, that could have been like Paul. Back to all, right? But when you looked at the T-shirt, you saw that the word had one L and not two. Excellence. And they misspelled it, you know? Okay. That's so often the message that the world sees. But you know what? T-shirts are cool. Wearing a T-shirt with a cool slogan is cool. I'm reminded back in New Zealand, I get off the plane, I walk by, I'm waiting for my bags to come out, and here is a young lady leaned up against the luggage turnstile, kind of waiting. And so I look at her, and she's got this cool T-shirt on. It's all about me. I go, oh, thank goodness, that's New Zealand. She's like a Kiwi girl. I can see it, huh? I go, oh, you know what? Now I remember there's something worse than wearing a T-shirt that says it's all about me. And that's when it's written, not on the T-shirt, but on the heart. Okay? That's where the work of excellence takes place. That's the approving that we seek, the choices that we must make, approving the excellent. Commitment is Christ alone. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Ladies and gentlemen, young folks and friends of mine that I love so much, if dependence upon God is your goal, then your greatest asset is your weakness. That's your takeaway. Contentment is Christ alone. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And if dependence upon God is your goal, your greatest asset is your weakness. And if you got that, we're just here to have a good time. Oh, wait. Oh, I remember. If I thought you were just coming for a good time, I would have sent a frisbee because I would have had other things to do, more important things to do. But this is the most excellent thing I could possibly do, being here with you at this time. I thank the Kavanaughs, and I thank you. And we better get going, because I've got 29 minutes of introduction and a takeaway. Good news, you've already got the takeaway. Contentment is Christ alone. Contentment is Christ alone. When you're beat, when you're buffeted, when you knock down, when you hurt, you look and what do you see? When you're content, you see Christ alone. Now, I've been thinking about you for a while. That probably doesn't surprise you. On 11th of October, I sat in my pathetic circumstances. I opened the scriptures, and I thought, let's get a running start at this. Let's start early in Philippians, and let's see what Paul has to say about contentment. That would be good to know. Let's see what him and his pal Tim have to say about service. Let's see how long you get into it before you kind of pick up the routine that this is big. So, Philippians 1. Hey, by the way, if you have your Bible and you don't know where to find Philippians, I didn't either. I use the index. find it, mark it, put a little thing in there, like this little tiny ribbon. But I use my index. You use it too. We go to some place, you go, oh yeah, I always use, I'll make Dewey feel good. I'll use my index. I'll be just like him. All right. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, the servants. That didn't take too long, did it? The servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are here in this room, he says to them, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Two verses, we've got it. Contentment from the hearts of the servants. Maybe they're related. Contentment and service. Or did you think I meant Paul and Timothy, the father and son in the faith? People that reach down and pull others up. People that reach up in order to be elevated, closer to Christ himself. Well, I go, hey, that's good enough. Check that box. Let's get on back to what I'm supposed to talk about. I go, let's see, it's in chapter 4. I'm sitting out on the balcony, room 804. I open this up. Okay, God. And we read these, chapter 4, starting early. Therefore, my brethren, and here it picks up, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Immediately, our hearts were knit together. Me on this little balcony outside room 804, and you, wherever you were at. Because God had placed you on my heart at that time. And I continued to read in 2, that you might be of the same mind in the Lord. And 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I stop and I look around. I go, yeah, rejoicing. That's a good thing. And I look around. I go, that's easy to do. Now, I'm sitting on the balcony, room 804, looking straight out there. My feet are up on the balcony ledge. Laptop's there, little table. Cup of cappuccino. From the 8th floor, the ground kind of falls away a little bit and then rises. And about a mile away is the Acropolis and the Pantheon. And right over the edge where I'd been the night before, the Areopolis, Mars Hill, where Paul spoke about the unknown God. I am very content. Very content. I mean, the sky is emerald. Oh, it wasn't blue yet. I remember. Because not only do I have a cup of cappuccino, I have a little cherry strudel there because I had just gone down to the bakery and came up, and it's 6:30, and I'm sitting there. And the sun is coming up behind me. And it's shining right there on that Pantheon at the top of the Acropolis, about a mile away, level with me. I'm looking like right in the patio to the Pantheon. Oh, cool. I am content in this. And I begin to rejoice because I can rejoice in those circumstances. But I again continue reading and thinking of you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I begin to pray for you. And we should pray. Let's pray. Because, Lord, we care so much. And I cannot care as you care.
I can only observe your great work and stand in awe as I'm watching you raise up the foundations of many godly generations through these young people. And I thank you, Lord, for the circumstances that helps them learn about you. Lord, I pray you would do your mighty work, that you would reach down from heaven and make me into your vessel unto honor for this moment. Set me apart for your great cause. Make me useful unto you. Prepare me for this good work and take me out of the picture, Lord, that they would only hear of you and see of you and walk out desiring more of you. I thank you for them, for their families, for whatever was sacrificed for them to be here. I pray, Lord, that you would multiply the blessings that they give to the Kavanaughs, to the speakers, to the work, to each other. Multiply all those blessings, Lord, and return them to them. In Jesus' name, amen. And I continue to read then. Hey, finally. I go, I love it. I can stop right there. Finally. So I told you all the heavy lifting had been done by these guys. I'm after the finally part. And it's already been addressed. Finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Do you see why I was thinking about you? This is how I describe you as I look at you, because I see Christ in you. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. That was a great night last night, wasn't it? You were lovely. I felt like I was the umpire at a great approving the excellent get-together. I mean, I saw you all. You looked excellent. I ate the dinner. It tasted excellent. It wasn't raining. It was excellent. The message last night was excellent. They even spelled it right. You know, all those things. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Looking at unto Paul, the messenger of God, he now turns to each one of us and he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, fill up your notebooks. Oh, I'm sorry. Do. Learned, received, heard, seen, do. Do. Accomplish. Walk. And the God of peace and contentment shall be with you. Wait. Can't I just get that contentment stuff without doing anything? I've been trying that for a long time, all right? I end up with holes in my socks. You will too. It'll get worse. Lest you think I'm talking about contentment when the big bad world is beating you up. I'm talking about contentment at church. Contentment at home. Contentment when you're married to somebody for 35 years. You got to be able to see Christ in all of those situations or you can't be content. How do we know that? Well, let's see what Paul has to say. By the way, I went to put my watch on. The end broke off. Now look at that. It's like, how can I be content with this? Aren't you glad I gave you that takeaway? We finished at 10 o'clock, right? Like, in 3 minutes, we should at least read the verse. What do you say? Man. Paul says, let's look at verse 12. We're in Philippians 4, verse 12. And Paul says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and on all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. That's a pretty good teacher right there. Can say that. Learned how to be high and low and everywhere in between. Well, what's he talking about? Real quickly, let's build a box. Let's hang a label on it. Let's supply it. Let's eat brunch. In 3 minutes, it's going to take a miracle. 2 minutes. No problem. I just turned my watch upside down. Fixed it all. A big old box. Paul knows. He has learned. Good news. Contentment can be learned. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. In all of life, not just like Paul, there's that all thing, there's that everything. He begins to draw on a metaphor from those days that came out of the mystic religions. It was like a secret, a mystery. And he says, he knows the secret handshake. He's going to teach it to us. Okay? We'll be able to get in to the club later on. I was going to tell you about a secret that humbled me. I had like a 3-minute version. The 1-minute version was after having my picture taken there with Miss Wyoming as a young guy, I'm thinking, you know, that is really cool. The entourage is standing around. They're taking pictures. People are in the concourse stopping. And I go down afterwards and I'm downstairs. But something doesn't feel quite right. And I discover that the whole time I'm being cool and lifted up, my pants were unzipped. All right? That's a secret, okay? I only tell my closest friends. Paul says he's been up, he's been down, he's been everywhere. He's learned a few things. He's learned to be full, to be like an animal that is completely full of grass, sitting in the midst of fields that do not end, with every delight that he wants to eat. He knows how to be full. But he also knows how to be hungry. Like a poor man. Here's the word concept behind this. A poor man who has to work for his living every day just so that he can buy enough to eat enough to go back and work the next day. He knows what that's like. He knows what it's like to abound. And the word is not just abound, it's super abound. It's excess. It's super excess. You might even think it's super duper excess, because that's the concept right there. Exceeding abundantly above all that he could ask or even think. Super duper excess. But he knows as well how to suffer need. The idea here that I pictured as I read this and looked into it is a man, thin man, drawn man, starving man, with food set before him, like potatoes in a pot. Like imagine 8 potatoes in the pot. He knows how to suffer need because it's up there. Unfortunately, he's standing in a line behind 46 people, starving, hungry. He knows how to abound, but yet suffer need in that regard. If you go back to verse 11, we again see the context. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Well, like Texas, that's pretty easy. Ohio, Pennsylvania, no. We're talking circumstances. He says, I have learned. Now, this is not just, oh yeah, I read about this in a book and this sounds cool. This is learned that is so deep and so ingrained that it's like the grains in the wood on the floor. All right? Can you imagine trying to separate the tiny grains one from another? He says he's learned it that way. Not only has he learned it like that, it has become a habit. So that when he faces a situation, he has an immediate response. And within that, he says, I have learned to be content. And contentment is what? Christ alone. The word contentment is a word of a buffeting wind. I think you've been there. Life buffets people, beats them up, comes looking for them. And he knows what that's like because contentment, he says, he has faced the buffeting wind and raised a barrier to it. Contentment. Raising a barrier to the buffeting wind. But we know that life really comes at you from all directions. You need a barrier that extends in all directions. Therefore, you take Christ upon you. Let me peek. You know, my background is out of the fighter community where people laid down their life for a cause. For a cause. And I didn't think a moment or regret the fact that I might be calling three other guys away from their television program to launch against an attack. Just never crossed my mind to think about that. And that was to take on the common cause. A cause, a worldly cause. You think I'd hesitate to ask you to skip brunch when we are in pursuit of the uncommon cause? Today I will not ask you to do that. But lucky for this, blah, 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 Christ alone. Blah, 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 Christ alone. You got it. You can walk out. But let's put Paul in there. I think maybe, are you okay? Young friends of grace and mercy, can we shoot for maybe 5 minutes and hit 10% of all of this? I told Pastor Kavanaugh Steve there that I think everything would be fine if I just had a couple more hours to prepare. But he knew I meant days, and the truth was it's weeks. So this is... Here we are. Let's put Paul in there and see if he knows what he's talking about. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, he says, he has just been to the throne of grace. He's talking about being lifted up and seeing, 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 being lifted up